as we are approaching the 1 year anniversary of the monumental case, Obergefell versus Hodges, which was the case that addressed same-sex marriage. Today we thought as we approach that anniversary, we want to have all of our friends and clients address the issues of what same-sex marriages mean, what the issues are that are constituting that. We also, this summer, have two students from the Pingree School who are spending their senior project with us, and they're doing research, and that is Jackson and Holly. And this will be hopefully the beginning of a appreciation for estate planning and a long enjoyment in the area. So amidst the heated debates and the protests and marches in Washington last June, the historic decision was completed on same-sex marriage. 2 years to the day prior to that decision, the Supreme Court made a finding in the United States versus Windsor and struck down the constitutionality of DOMA, which is the Defense of Marriage Act, defining marriage for federal purposes existing only between one man and one woman. So that was struck down. The Supreme Court decisions in both cases had far-reaching effects, including but not limited to tax and estate planning, and that are the discussions today. Recognition of same-sex marriage, and today when we speak of same-sex couples, we're only speaking about couples who are married. So this is a key piece because in the past, when we speak of couples, we're only referring to married couples and what benefits you can have through the purposes of marriage. So, first and foremost, this rule now makes estate planning gender blind. When discussing the changes, the overarching theme is there is no need now to draft estate planning documents any differently for estate planning for same-sex couples. So in the eyes of the federal and state governments, they are all afforded the same benefits. The issue, though, is the Supreme Court case last year. If you prepared a will prior to that date, it will make no difference. If you were married before that date and were subject to an older will, the will today will be, we would recommend you get a new will done, but at least that will acknowledge that you're married in the eyes of the law for tax purposes. Even states who have significant powers created through the Constitution and have taken different approaches on same-sex relationships must now acknowledge the union for purposes of any plan that we do. Unlimited marital deduction. You all understand that this piece says that if one spouse dies, the surviving spouse is entitled to receive all assets of the predeceased spouse. This goes back to the 1980s when Ronald Reagan said that at that point, if one spouse passes away, the surviving spouse should not be penalized twice, one losing their spouse and then secondly being subject to tax. The IRS and Ronald Reagan weren't being incredibly generous. They were just being patient because they knew on the second spouse's death, the assets would be subject to estate tax. But first spouse could, surviving spouse could enjoy the tax-free benefit. Singularly, the most important benefit for this case last year is now same-sex spouses, the surviving spouse can enjoy all the assets without any tax. Part two is portability. So several years ago, through the Obama administration, the tax law was passed which allows the surviving spouse to take advantage of the deceased spouse's exemptions. And those exemptions right now are $5.45 million. In some respects, we look at this using that exemption as an unsophisticated way to maximize tax planning. But if one spouse passes away and does not have proper planning in place to utilize the exemptions, they can at least pick up that exemption, load it onto their knapsack, and carry it with them the rest of their life. and then on their passing use their own exemption and their predeceased spouse's exemption. It's a little bit more complex than that, but not worthy of today's call. Only need to know that the surviving spouse can enjoy that. We have prepared, and there was a dial-in call, on the 10 possibilities of portability, and that is on our website under the enrichment section, where we give a little bit more of an in-depth review. Gift splitting. What is a gift? A gift is when you transfer assets from yourself to a loved one or a friend. The IRS looks at that as your opportunity to reduce the size of your estate and to avoid paying tax when you die. They make an exemption for an annual gift. And so you often hear people saying, I'm going to make gifts up to the exemption amount, and that amount is $14,000. But if it's a husband and wife, in that set of facts, historically in the past, as long as both spouses were on either the checking account or if we could trace the gift, both husband and wife could double the gift by one person actually making the official gift. But you could double that up to get $28,000. So in the same-sex marriage, this is something now that is an important new strategy to deploy going forward. Beneficiary designation of retirement benefits. Okay, so the most important piece that with retirement that we want to take advantage of is that many of you who have created IRAs where you're every year continuing to fastidiously put aside a portion of money, get a deduction for that into a qualified account, which qualified meaning tax deferred, that money then compounds with tax, and then you take that money out during your retirement years when in theory you're at a lower tax rate, but you've enjoyed all these years of compounding. The next step that the IRS afforded you as a tax saver was that on your death, instead of it all being distributed out and now paying income tax on it, your loved ones, they would allow you to roll that over, meaning that you can then appoint those assets to a surviving loved one, but that person was limited to your married spouse. And so same-sex couples who were married were not enjoying this benefit. Why is it important? Well, if one spouse passes away and there is, for easy math, $5 million in the IRA, that's a high number, we'll use $1 million, $1 million in the IRA. If they were not entitled to the benefit, then the $1 million would be distributed out to the surviving spouse, and then tax would be on that, call that 33% at least, and then you'd be down to $600,000 and change, and then that money, any earnings each year, would be subject to tax. Now with the rollover, the surviving spouse can receive the entire $1 million, have to take out their little increments each year, the required minimum distributions, but the rest continues to compound. This is the single most important advantage from an income tax standpoint when doing estate planning, but a very, very important piece to the role over here. So all state level employment benefits should be reviewed and updated, as well as all IRAs, to make sure that you are providing for your same-sex spouse and taking full advantage of this piece. Life insurance. So many of you know that you have put together your life insurance, and we have set that up in trust because when it's in a trust, it's off your balance sheet for tax purposes, and so when you pass away, those assets will pass to whomever you choose free of tax, free of estate tax. Now, with the new rules, same-sex spouses can just simply appoint the beneficiary as their spouse, and they will enjoy the tax-free transfer through what we call the unlimited marital deduction and not pay the tax. It is not the most favorable way to do your planning. We would still recommend, as we do for all couples, married or otherwise, same-sex or otherwise, having it in trust because it assures that it will go to your spouse free of tax, but then also down to the next generation. So it's not just the insurance benefit is clear, but it avoids the problem that for those individuals who fail to put a trust in place and done the maximum planning possible. Number seven, as we continue to move forward, is to review previously filed tax returns. So same-sex spouses may amend previously filed federal, state, and gift tax returns from single to married status, subject to the statutory limitations period of 3 years from when the tax return was originally due or filed if on extension, or 2 years from the date the tax was paid, whichever is later. So married couples living in states that did not recognize same-sex marriages prior to the case from last year may be able to amend their tax returns for 2012, 2013, 2014, depending on the law of the state. We encourage you to do this. As you know, we have an income tax practice here headed by Maureen in our office, and she is very focused on assisting with all of our clients who are doing income tax work, and we're happy to have you call in with questions on these pieces. Next key piece is natural born and adopted children. A very, very important piece, because if you have not adopted the child, or that child is not a genetic progeny of yours and that you can trace through, then that child would not be a beneficiary under a typical will. So even with same-sex marriages, there still is a tracing that you have to do to confirm that that child is either legally adopted yours or is your own child. So the relationship of the child to the adoptive parents, in the case of a child born to one of the partners in the same-sex couple, can be the cause of contest of the legal parent if planning is not put in ahead of time. So if a child is born to one spouse, the other spouse may strongly consider adoption of that child to legalize the relationship between that spouse and the child. If there is no legal relationship between the child and the spouse of that natural parent, a relative or natural or the original parents could fight for custody if the parent dies or fails to demonstrate that they're caring for the child. Of course, this issue is key in same-sex couples, parent-children relationships. Very, very important when there is a fight regarding child custody and guardianship, particularly as you consider co-parenting and adoption. So if a partner has a child and the other partner plans to adopt that child, he or she then is eligible for the adoption credit. The credit is not available to the spouse adopting if it's the spouse's child, because they're already getting that one credit. The other spouse is already receiving that one credit, and the presumption is that they're filing jointly. Non-citizen spouses, number nine, may consider becoming a citizen. So if you are married and your spouse is a non-citizen, it is critical to take advantage of this opportunity, not necessarily seize on it, but at least take advantage of the opportunity to potentially become married. This eligibility should be considered carefully, though, taking into account all ramifications. For example, as a U.S. citizen, the individual will be taxed, once becoming a citizen, would be taxed on their worldwide income. So this is a very important point. Once all of our clients who are non-citizens or non-residents are considering citizenship, we have to work very closely with them as to whether or not it is something they want to do. Why? Because once you're a citizen, you're blessed with many advantages of being part of the U.S., but on the other hand, if you've determined that the taxation is too significant because your assets around the world and the income that you're enjoying is too great and the advantages of being a citizen are too small, for example, sometimes we have what we call accidental citizens when traveling family winds up staying here and their child is born, and maybe that was intentional, but then they move back to the country of their origin and then have very little connection here. Trying to remove that child's citizenship is not easy. And to expatriate once you're a citizen, you have to prove 5 years that you have been in U.S. tax compliance, that you've been paying the tax authority. If your net worth is greater than $2 million and that your income is in excess of $160,000 per year, you have to pay an exit tax. It is a capital gains tax as if you sold all the property when you leave, almost what the Canadians call a deemed sale, as if you sold all pieces. So you need to think twice before you become a citizen, but you need to know that that benefit now exists through marriage in a same-sex couple relationship. Finally, number 10 is to review your current estate plan. Due to the tax-saving venues open to the same-sex couple, it is beneficial for the couple to review all existing plans in order to maximize the federal and state estate gift and income tax planning. Beneficiary designations for your insurance, your retirement benefits should be reviewed in order to align your designations with what your intentions are and to take advantage of rollovers and transfers of insurance tax-free. If you have properties, retitle any property that is in joint name with joint ownership to ownership of couples with by entirety. You're automatically entitled to those assets passing to the surviving spouse without any tax couples, as you always are, but it provides for a smoother transfer. We would also have you know that while that is a simple way to do the plan, typically we're focused on something much more involved by having the property be in trust and allowing the surviving partner to receive it in trust and an asset protected and a tax-free transfer not just to the spouse but down to the children. In community property states, the couple may want to convert separately owned property to community property in order to receive a step-up in basis upon the death of the survivor of the spouse. Is very, very important. For those of you on the West Coast where community property is the rule, we've seen some wonderful advantages where one spouse may own all the assets and the other spouse just merely having a small connection can enjoy a full step up, meaning a resetting of the tax basis and significant income tax benefits and gains tax benefits. So living on out west has that advantage. It was not available to same sex couples. Now it is. You want to confirm all relationships. So we want to be clear in the documents as to what names are. For example, we choose spouse or partner or husband or wife. We want to address whether they're naturally born or adopted. These are key pieces in the drafting. Under all circumstances, we want to protect you as much as possible. We want to also consider what we call an interorum clause. Interorum means when someone decides that they want to attack the will, and at that point we want to make clear that if one attacks the will, that they would lose all of their assets. We must say that some states don't find that they want this enforceable, but under all circumstances can provide a deterrent effect to those that do. Why do same-sex couples focus so much on this? Because there is a concern at times that those that may have beliefs that do not support our clients' wishes may seek to undermine the estate plan and say that these are really our assets, that my sibling or my child really intended me to have it. So putting a will together in a same-sex couple is essential to address those proclivities of family members that would otherwise not be as readily apparent in more typical relationships, and we want to do everything we can to protect those families. So